Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, et cetera, as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Valparaiso University Chorale with the final stanza of the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. That's a stanza that has made its way into the devotion of the church, especially at the time of funerals and even in advance of funerals, at the time of the Christian when they are facing death, when they are in the process of dying, along with another one that we're going to discuss today, one of those scriptural hymns called the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, Now You Let Your Servant Go in Peace, the Song of Simeon. Why are these so comforting? Why are these words and these ideas from Holy Scripture so comforting to the one who's dying and to the one, to the ones who anticipate the death of a Christian loved one? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 3rd of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's part three of our series on the liturgy of sickness, dying, and death today. We continue with the commendation for the dying. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest for the first hour. In the second hour of the program, Pastor Ted Giese joins us for his review of the movie Noah. It's been one of the most reviewed movies, if you watch social media, ever. Good, bad, somewhere in between, some skeptical, some cynical. Some say, what's the big problem if you take a little dramatic license with an iconic story from the Old Testament? My question is, does the movie get the theology of the Noah story right or wrong? I don't mind if they add ents and walking trees, as long as they get the theology right. You got to entertain people in order to fill those seats. We'll talk about the movie Noah with Pastor Ted Giese, then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us, continuing our weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today, the Valley of Dry Bones, you know where it's at, Ezekiel chapter 37. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. You can also leave your comments on the movie Noah at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Will Wheaton joins us to continue our study of the commendation for the dying. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd.
Now, we only got to the readings.
Yeah.
And the readings, the one we ended on is the one that is, you said, I remember you said it, it's not, this is what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the dying Christian is about to see and experience face to face.
Face to face. It's just glorious. I love that. The lamb, the white robes, the palm branches in their hands, and salvation belongs to our God, and the angels crying out, and the incredible words that passage ended on. You know that they are before the throne of God. They serve Him day and night in His temple. He shelters them with His presence. Hunger's gone, thirst is gone. There's no danger from sun or any heat. And the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. You got to love the mixture of metaphors there. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of living water. And then that incredible promise that we find so beautiful and so comforting, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Oh. I just almost break into tears every time I read that promise. It's such a beautiful thing. Well, immediately following the readings is the summary of the readings, the giving back to God, saying back to God in summary what he has said to you. What is this hope then that he's put in you? And it's given here in the words of the Apostles' Creed. So the dying and the people around the dying confess together that, you know, we are the creatures that God the Father Almighty has made. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And not only that, He's the restorer of heaven and earth when we broke it. And so the confession of Jesus Christ and His incarnation and all that He did for our redemption, crucified, died, buried, descended into hell, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and right now, governing all things, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and coming finally on the great last day to judge the living and the dead. And then particularly this, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, the life that has no end. So the dying Christian is especially reminded, our faith is in the God who created us, who redeemed us, who sanctifies us, and who indeed not only delivers to you forgiveness for every sin, but who will remember you and raise you from the dead and fill you with a life that will go on forever in His presence. This is the faith of the church, and we joyfully confess it in the face of death.
A couple questions on that. One is kind of general, and I think here of the story. And I don't know how much of it is apocryphal, how much of it is true, but it's often told the story of Luther's death. And and maybe this was the practice at the time, but when he was attended by his colleagues, friends, and pastors at his death in Eisleben, one of the questions they put to him was, you've made this confession of the Christian faith. Do you intend to die? Do you take anything back?
Right.
In other words,
yeah.
Do you intend to die steadfast in this faith? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He said yes, and he is willing to depart before the judgment seat of Christ, confessing before Him as the great judge of all what he had confessed during his life here on earth. He held to his confession to the end. In fact, it's kind of I wonder if the idea to ask him about that arose from him. You know, his own writings about it, because he is always expecting to die, so he or being martyred. So he had written his confession, this is his great last testament, more than once. And when he writes it, he always stressed it. You know, this is what I intend, to depart this life and to stand before the judgment seat of my Lord, confessing. So yeah, the church, in view of the great judgment, once again confesses her faith here with the dying. And how comforting these words are. If a Christian has lived as our catechism teaches us to live, these have been the words that we pray every morning, every night. They frame a day. And not only do they frame a day, they frame our life in Christ. They're the words that are confessed at the gift of holy baptism. And so here, as baptism is coming to its final fulfillment in a person's life, they're confessed here too.
These are confirming words in more than one sense. It's not just a public confession, but I imagine that the devil works double time on the dying to create doubt, to level accusations, all of those kinds of things. And I'm wondering here, does the creed here also function to give a means for which the dying person can say no to all that the devil is suggesting?
Yeah,
in this hour,
one of the things that our good friend Henry Gehrke reminds me of when we talk about comfort is that the sense of the Latin is to make strong, and so the church comforts the faith of the dying here, makes it strong, to strengthen it in the face of Satan's most certain, blatant attempts to pull a person away at the last minute, usually by despair. Despair over sin, or despair over the horror of death itself, that you'll be annihilated and forgotten. And the church basically confesses in this creed, you're not going to be forgotten. God remembers you. You have been marked with the sign of the cross of Christ. You have been created by God, redeemed by God, sanctified by God. He is not going to leave you to death and the grave. He will raise you.
Is it a baptismal thing that we're doing here in this commendation of the dying by confessing the creed? Is it a remembrance of baptism?
Yeah, very much so. And in fact, the Trinitarian shape then of the creed will be echoed. You're going to hear it in the Trinitarian shape of the litany, and then in the Trinitarian shape of the commendation of the dying. So in all of these, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God who was bent on your salvation and forked over to you that life, forgiveness bigger than all your sin, life bigger than all your death, as I like to say, he gave you that gift in baptism. And the church is just reveling in that gift here as a person's earthly life is drawing to a close.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We'll take a break. We're in part three of our series with him on the liturgy of sickness, dying, and death. We're talking about the commendation for the dying. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, April the 3rd. Feel free to give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943.
There's a reason to be a believer in doctrine who sees that doctrine as having a practice.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And that these things aren't against each other, but that my religion as a Christian is highly spiritual, and my spirituality as a Christian is highly religious, and this is the best of both worlds.
You can meet and hear Pastor Jonathan Fisk making the case for being spiritual and religious Friday, June the 13th and Saturday, June 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Craig at 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin; Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin; Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois; Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland; Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming; Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington; Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois; Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas; St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois; Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin; Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois; Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300. Familiar 23rd Psalm. We're talking about the commendation of the dying with Pastor Will Wheaton on this Thursday afternoon, April the 3rd. Pastor Wheaton, we're launching into what the rubrics, the red letters, called the Litany for the Dying.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about where this thing comes from. I understand that it is unique to this rite, but it isn't entirely unique.
Right. This is clearly built on what was originally the Litany of All Saints, that was part of the baptismal rite that Luther himself then adapted as the great litany that he urged to be praised against the at the time the invasion of the Turk into Europe, and he continued to encourage the use of this litany. Lutherans picked that form up and continued to use it they just found it to be a very natural way to pray, and so this is an adaptation of the litany that you'll find in the hymnal to pray. I remember a couple years back, I remember President Harrison urged all of us to pray the litany every day during Lent. It was just such a great practice. You're going to hear, it's going to sound very familiar here. Notice in the rubric too, it can be prayed responsively, or it says by the pastor. In other words, if you don't have it printed out for the people, it's harder for them to know what the response is to join in. I want to read through it because it's just absolutely one of the best parts of this rite. We've had confession and absolution. We've had the comfort of the Psalms. We've had the words and promises of God read. We've confessed our faith, and now we turn to God in prayer for the dying. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. That's how the liturgy always starts. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. Then, God the Father in heaven, have mercy on us. God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Be gracious to us. Spare us, good Lord. Be gracious to us. Help us, good Lord. Now, what are we asking for deliverance from? From all sin, from all evil, from all suffering. Good Lord, deliver us. And isn't it interesting that it's good Lord, deliver us, not good Lord, deliver him or her? Still, the church stands in unity with the dying, even in this prayer. By your incarnation, by your cross and suffering, by your death and burial, help us, good Lord. by your resurrection and ascension, by the coming of your Holy Spirit, help us, good Lord. And those two, you have basically a summary of the second article of the Creed, right? Just laid out there. We poor sinners implore you to hear us, good Lord. Now the petition specifically begins for the dying, that you deliver your servant from all, and that person would be named, from all evil and from eternal death. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, that you forgive all his sins. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, that you give him refreshment and everlasting blessing. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, that you give him joy and gladness in heaven with your saints. We implore you to hear us, good Lord. So what we had pretty much coming up to this point would have been very common to any litany, but now these are the petitions specifically for the dying: forgiveness, deliverance from evil and eternal death, forgiveness of all sins, the gift of refreshment, of everlasting blessing, joy and gladness in heaven with the saints. I really liked that last point. Remember, if you look at the story of Lazarus and the rich man, the amazing thing about hell, well, what does the people always say about hell? They say, well, at least if I go there,
I'll be in good company, right?
Yeah, a lot of people were in there. But did you notice that in that story? In the agony of the rich man, he is all alone. There's no one there with him. And I think that's one of the most frightening pictures that the scriptures give us of eternal punishment, is this picture of being all alone forever. Could there be anything worse? You know, human beings were made for fellowship. And so note the contrast. There's the rich man all alone in the flames, but there on the other side is Lazarus, and he's got the angels as his companions, as we hear in that beautiful hymn you began with, and as we'll hear again before we're done. And he's with Abraham. He's not alone. The salvation is being together. Salvation is being restored to community. Hell is being alone. So this powerful prayer, you know, that to say to a dying person when you're walking that road, which you truly do walk alone, except for the Lord and his angels that are not seen, you're saying to them, but you're not going to be alone. You will find out. You will be given great joy with the Lord in heaven and with all the saints. Be at peace. I think that's one of the most beautiful petitions in this particular prayer.
Let's before we go on with the latter part of the prayer, let's talk with Cindy in St. Louis. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Every night, my husband reads this to us. It's the close of the day on page 298 in the hymnal. And I want to ask you, the second thing that he reads is, "The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last." Is that the last part? Is that referring to the last of the night or the really last, the last of our lives?
Thanks, Cindy. Thanks for listening in St. Louis.
And the answer, Cindy, of course, is yes. It is the peace at the last, for the last of this day. But above all, peace at the last, at the end of our lives. Peace at the last, as we face the moments of our death. Peace at the last. I had a guy that was a member of my church in Hamel years ago, been gone for a long time. But when he visited the hospital when he was a little boy, he said, this nun came up to him and said, "Oh, you look like such a sweet child." And she patted him on the cheek and said, "May God give you an easy death." Walked away. And he always remembered being so stunned by it. And then he grew up and he was like, she never wished me a better thing in the whole world. You know, a peaceful death, a death where I can face it with peace at the last. And he did. He did all the way.
Well, I've got a question for you on it's listed as responses, but in these things that we're asking for the dying, it says, "We implore you to hear us, good Lord." And I don't want anyone to misunderstand that sometimes we think of this imploring, this begging, this pleading, that we have to do so because the person that we're asking is reluctant to answer.
Oh, yeah, no.
But that's not what's going on. We're not imploring because God is reluctant to answer.
No, no. We implore. You know, I have to confess, I'm one of those old-fashioned guys, and I just still haven't gotten used to implore. I like the beseech. Mm-hmm. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord. Beseech, though, it's just to beg. We're asking that. It's just asking it of him. And what you're asking of him is what he delights to deliver. So in this entire prayer, there's nothing that you're asking. I mean, there's nothing here that you would have to say, you know, if it be thy will. We've asked for the good gifts here that are God's good and gracious will declared in his word that he would deliver to us. And up to this point in the prayer, we've asked for these specific things, but now we remember the basis on which we ask everything. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. You know, the famous words of the Agnus Dei always wrap up the petitions of the litany. We remember that we ask everything of our good and gracious Lord on the basis of him who offered himself as the sin offering for the sin of the whole world, and that the peace for which we beg for this dying person and for the family that's going to need this peace so greatly. We know it's a peace that God delights to grant in and through his Son. The litany wraps up with a final Kyrie, just like all litanies, all Western litanies do. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. So the Trinity, again, I mentioned earlier how the baptismal imagery just runs its way through this whole service. And so here it is again at the end. We remember that we make our prayers to this one who named us as his very own, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The prayer doesn't end with that. That's just the end of the litany. Then there is a specific prayer that sounds jarring. Listen to these words. You know, you're there together to send someone off to eternity, right? And you pray, Almighty God, you breathed life into Adam and have given earthly life also to the name of the person that's lying there, your dear child and servant. With faith in your power to heal and save, we commend him or her to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And at this point, you might go, what? I mean, we weren't asking for this person to be healed because we're granting that this person is leaving this earthly life. We forget that it is God's great power to heal and to save that we call resurrection. And so this prayer admits that right from the start.
And we're not giving up on the fact.
We're not giving up. We're saying God can, you know, this is the God who can do it. This, when you're dealing with the God who raises the dead, there really isn't any limitation you want to place on him, is there? I mean, if he's going to raise the dead by the power of his word, healing the sick is no big deal for him. But I do think the view that's given here is clearly toward the final healing. Because if he grants a temporal healing, it only lasts for a little bit, right? And then you finally die again. The person here, though, is looking straight ahead toward the healing where there is no getting sick again, no falling apart again after that, the healing of resurrection.
And here's the verb that gives the rite its name. We commend him,
right,
to you.
Yeah, the commendation of the dying.
What does that mean, to commend him to God?
To put him into God's hands. To say, you know, this person is yours. They belong to you. They are your problem. Their problems are your problems. You're the one who has made to them these promises. You are the one who will keep it. They are in your care and in your keeping. And always running with the commendation is, again, this idea that God will not forget you. You're being committed into the hands of the one who will remember you and call you from death. Then the right concludes the prayer section, if you will, by a...
this is Lord's Prayer as blessing.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of the baptismal rite for the Lord's
Prayer.
Remember,
we've talked several times in the liturgy series about how the Lord's Prayer is prayed in different contexts towards different intentions. So when you're thinking about a person who is dying, think about the comfort of the Lord's Prayer. I mean, everybody praying it together, but our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. the work that you began in this person, naming them your own, putting your name on them in baptism, now bring that holy work to completion. Your kingdom come. Show them now, not just with the eyes of faith. Let them see truly this kingdom that you have prepared for them. Your will be done. Your will is the salvation of sinners. May this salvation be fulfilled in this person's life right here, right now. Give them everything they need for their daily bread. You be their the solution to every issue that they face. You be it. If they are dying, you be their life. If they are despairing, you be their hope. You be their daily bread. Forgive them all their sins, and of course the fulfillment of them being forgivers themselves. Lead them not into temptation. The hour of despair when. It is faith alone. When you're dying and your breath goes and it's just the promises of God hanging there, preserve them from the temptations of the evil one and rescue them at last from this evil one, bringing them into the kingdom, the power, and the glory that go on forever. You know, it's just a beautiful praying of the Lord's Prayer as the family of God together. And I'm struck by this again, that the church accomplishes this act together. It's not simply something that you leave somebody to do on their own. The church does it together.
The hand is on the head again.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a time earlier in this rite where the pastor is?
Yeah, we had the absolution, and the pastor is to lay his hand on the head of the person as he absolves them.
You said at that time when we were talking about it, put your hand on their head, apply some pressure as you can. Again, why is that so important?
I think the big, I think in the context we were talking about of the absolution before, one of the weird things that many times happens to people as they get older is that they do not have much human touch. It's one of the saddest things. And when they do, so many times it's mediated by someone in a plastic glove or whatever. You know what I mean? There's always a barrier. Here, let the pastor be a human touch, the human hand that presses down. And that says with this person, you are not alone here. We are with you. We, your family, we, the church, we are with you. And we are with you as the sign of him who became incarnate flesh and blood for you, to be with you and who will walk with you. And when you no longer are walking with us, he will be walking with you through the valley of the shadow of death to the life that never ends.
It's part three of our series with Pastor Will Wheaton on the liturgy of sickness, dying, and death. Today we're talking about the commendation for the dying. Pastor Will Wheaton is a regular guest and director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Feel free to give us a call with your questions, your comments on the commendation for the dying. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
T-shirts, shorts, sun. Get in shape this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Get A-Fit this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Check out the updated showroom at Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Valo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience, Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or valofloor.com.
When I survey the wondrous cross, Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Streaming 24/7 sacred music and talk stations from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Lord's Prayer, sung by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. We're talking about the Commendation of the Dying, Part 3 of our series on the Liturgy of Sickness, Dying, and Death with Pastor Will Whedon. Now, that was the Lord's Prayer. The next thing is kind of the, I don't know what I, for lack of a better word, call it a send-off. The next three things all say the same thing. This little send-off, the Nunc Dimittis, and then the hymn, Lord, Thee I love with all my heart.
Yeah, I think we properly called this next part. I mean, the earlier referenced the commendation, but this is the commendation proper. The person is named, and then they are told, "Go in peace." If you talk to people who study dying, a lot of the things they say there about dying have their resonances in this service. For example, and this I think is prime one: permission to die, permission to let go. The family saying to the person, "It's okay, I love you, I will always love you, but you can go in peace." So the church does this literally. The person is told, "You may go in peace." And then the blessing. May God the Father, who created you, May God the Son, here the sign of the cross is made, who redeemed and saved you with his blood. May God the Holy Spirit, who sanctified you in the water of holy baptism, receive you into the company of saints and angels to await the resurrection and to live in the light of his glory forevermore. Amen. That is so powerful and so deep. Notice, first of all, the baptismal reference, the Trinitarian confession here of the God who created you, who saved you by his blood, and who sanctified you in baptism. But notice what you are being received into a company of saints and angels. Again, heaven not being alone. You are going to a place where you will be with God in the presence of his people and his angels. And lest you think that's the, you know, what is it that there's a saying Jeff Gibbs throws out there, heaven is great, but it's not the end of the world or something like that. And that's really great because he wants to highlight the resurrection.
Which so often, I've had that conversation with them dozens of times.
Yeah.
So often we substitute heaven for resurrection, new heaven, new earth.
And notice here that the liturgy won't let you get away with it. Even as it will not take away from people the comfort and the joy of heaven, it confesses that in heaven, you're waiting. You're waiting for the fulfillment of the rest of the promise. You wait for the resurrection. And yet you do so in the light of God's glory.
So there's two not versions of this. There are two applications of this. One is here with the person before they've died.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to make a distinction here that's kind of sloppy. In essence, to commend their soul unto God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then, after the person's died, we do the same for the body. And the wording is remarkably similar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, you will notice that. I mean, when we get to the funeral liturgy, you're going to go, wait a minute, didn't we say that in the commendation? Almost. Not quite the same, but very, very close. In fact, I meant to bring in my... Do you have your Stark's prayer book by any chance?
It's over there someplace in my
mountain. Oh, my. It's over there in that.
Yeah.
Well,
so
we might have to see if we can find it during the break.
But it's
Stark's prayer book has this most beautiful prayer to be offered in the presence of one who has just passed away, right? And so in this prayer, it commends the soul of the person into the hands of the Maker. And then it has this beautiful line where it says, you know, and grant to the body a safe and peaceful sleep in the earth until that joyful day when the one who served you, body and soul, will be raised. And so, the whole person who served you here will be glorified there. It's this beautiful holding together of the comfort and joy of the soul being gathered to God in heaven, but without losing the focus on the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. I just find it hugely significant that the commendation of the dying has that built into it.
And we were talking a little bit about this off mic, that for me, in my experience as a parish pastor, the pinnacle of the funeral liturgy is this: may God the Father, who created this body, may God the Spirit,
right,
who sanctified this body to be his temple.
Yeah.
And may God the Son, who redeemed this body.
Yeah. Keep these remains.
The most comfort, you are about to lower the casket.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most final things in this world, and you're standing there saying, that isn't God's last word on this matter.
Right, right. And in fact, and it'll probably get me into all kinds of trouble, it's one of the reasons why I absolutely refuse to allow military honors to come at the end. I if we're doing military honors, we did them before the commendation of the committal service, rather. The committal of the church would let God have the final say. And that was just vital to me. The military always argued with me on it, but I would not yield. I said, you know, nope. You know, if you put a flag on that coffin, it's going to get awful dirty because I'm throwing dirt on that casket as I speak these words. Please don't do that. That's usually what persuaded them. Okay, we'll follow. We won't do that. I think as honorable and wonderful and great as someone's service to the country is and how it should be honored, it simply is not the final word over the person. The final word is that God is going to raise this body that he has created and that his son has redeemed and that his Holy Spirit sanctified.
Let's take another break. It's part three of our series on the Liturgy of Sickness, Dying, and Death. We're talking about the commendation of the dying, and when we come back, Simeon's song and then the church's song. And, well, we never finish without the blessing that God uses to bless his people every Sunday. Those words are also spoken as well. When we come back, 10 more minutes with Pastor Will Wheaton on the commendation of the dying.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Sacramental. Historical. Liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
We all believe in one true God, who created earth and heaven, the Father in love hath the right of children given. In soul and body feeds us, all we need his hand provides us, through all snares and perils leads us, watching that no harm betide us, he cares.
The first stanza of the hymn, We All Believe in One True God, the Creedal Hymn, from the pen of Martin Luther. It's part three of our series on the Liturgy of Sickness, Dying, and Death. We're talking about the commendation of the dying with Pastor Will Wheaton. Pastor Wheaton, what follows here is, it's called the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now dismiss your servant. And it's paired with what we heard at the beginning of our conversation, the final stanza of the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. And it's almost like they one flows into the other one there. Why are these two here?
Well, what binds them both together is this departing in peace. And so just like Simeon in the temple, after he had seen that the destruction of death and the forgiveness of sins had come into the flesh, when he saw the Lord Jesus and, you know, recognized he had seen the glory of Israel and the salvation of the Gentile people as well, he says, okay, God, I can die now. I mean, that's what, Lord, let me go in peace. The its forces, I can just die now. It's okay. I know I have nothing to be afraid of. And those words become very precious as they are used over and over again in the Lutheran liturgy, uniquely so, by the way. These words come immediately following the reception of Christ's body and blood in the sacrament. And I think that when I've done the commendation of the dying, we come to this. I never do it exactly as it's printed here because I usually start singing it. And everybody joins in, you know, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And I don't think there's a dry eye in the entire room by the time we're done. We realize we're all saying it's okay. You can now go in the peace of God because you have a Savior and you do not need to be afraid. And we can even sing glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the face of death because he is the conqueror of death. And we do not need to be filled with anxiety and worry. We may know the peace of God even at this moment. And then sort of underlining it, saying amen, saying the same thing twice, we turn to the last stanza of Lord, Thee I Love. And listen again to the words. I mean, this is just an amazing text. Lord, let at last thine angels come. To Abram's bosom, bear me home, that I may die unfearing. Okay. Death of the soul, right? I mean, not death of the soul, the soul being taken to heaven, right? And now, and in its narrow chamber, keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. The body sleeping in the earth, the soul gathered home to God. Is it all over? It's not over till it's over. And so, and then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see. Echoes of Job 19, right? You know, whom I see with my own eyes and not another, how my heart burns within me. O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace, Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. The glorification of God, the end of man, and here it is, confess that it will go on forever and ever and ever because the Lord Jesus will raise us from the dead. Now, the rite does contain at this point an eventuality. What if you're praying and the person goes? I will never forget. I mean, I literally had this happen with, I was in the middle of a funeral and we're on the way to, we were just getting ready to start the service and I get the phone call that that Ruby was going and I was like, what are you, I got to finish the funeral and get to do the committal, but I didn't go to the wake afterwards. Instead, I went to the nursing home and Ruby was still with us. And, her daughter who just recently died, she said, yeah, she waited for you, Pastor. And I mean, literally as I'm singing Lord, Thee I Love, she goes. And so it's like, okay, turn the page and, you know, it continues with the prayer in case they go. Oh God, the Father, fountain and source of all blessing, we give thanks that you have kept our brother or sister with their name in the faith and have now taken him to yourself. Comfort us with your holy word and give us strength that when our last hour comes, we may peacefully fall asleep in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that sort of reminds me, I did, but we found your edition of Stark, and I always like to plug Stark whenever I can. So it's a great resource. It's filled with a whole section on prayers to do with the dying. But listen to this prayer. This is in the same eventuality, right? The person has died. So then this prayer is raised. O holy and righteous God, it has pleased you to call from this life the departed lying here before us by temporal death. Let us learn from this death that we too must die and leave this world, in order that we may prepare for it in time by repentance, a living faith, and avoiding the sins and vanities of the world. Refresh the soul that is now departed with heavenly consolation and joy, and fulfill for it all the gracious promises that in your word you've made to those who believe in you. Grant to the body a soft and quiet rest in the earth until the last day, when you will reunite body and soul and lead them into glory, so that the entire person who served you here may be filled with heavenly joy there. Comfort all who are in grief over this death, and be and remain to the bereaved their father, provider, guardian, helper, and support. Do not forsake them, and do not withdraw your hand from them, but let them abundantly experience your goodness, grace, love, and help, until you will grant them also a happy and blessed end. Hear us for your mercy's sake. Amen. Is that gold or what? I mean, that is just one of the most beautiful prayers. Right there at the very tail end of Stark's prayer book.
We've got about a minute here before we have to wrap it up.
Oh my goodness. So we wrap it up with the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. As we began with the Trinity and the baptismal references ran through everything, so the service ends the same way. It reminds the person that the Lord himself will look upon them. And because he will look upon them, they will have favor and peace. Again, saying, he won't forget you. Do not be afraid. He will bless you. He will see you. He will call you by name. And you will live in him forevermore.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS Commission on Worship, by the way, or Pastor Whedon, who is the LCMS?
LCMS Worship.
LCMS Worship. They're sponsoring the 2014 Institute on Liturgy Preaching and Church Music. It's going to be July the 28th through the 31st at Concordia University, Nebraska, my alma mater. You can find out more about this conference for lay people, for pastors, for church musicians, for anyone. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Will, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Ted Giese is going to join us. We're going to review that much-reviewed movie, Noah. We'll find out, does it retain the theology? Maybe not all the details, maybe adding in a few characters, maybe dramatizing the events, but does it retain the theology of that Genesis account? And then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be with us to talk about Christ in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Are the New Testament Gospels reliable historical documents? How can a loving God allow evil in the world? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Making the Case for Christianity.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.